Episode number 39 of the Fight Night Picks podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. And if you head on over to their website, sisuguard.com, use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Frank Allen.
It is Friday, September 14th, episode number 39 of the Fight Night Picks podcast, the second one of the day, a Bellator 205 preview show with three really great guests taking part in the event next Friday, so let's get into it. Alright, and welcome to episode number 39 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I'm your host, Craig Allen. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CraigAllenFNP. There's some great articles up right now, fightnightpicks.net. I had a chance to talk with Anthony Smith, competing at UFC Moncton. We spoke on Tuesday morning there. They just unveiled a brand new rink there, the Avenir Center in Moncton. So tickets actually went on sale this morning. So you can pick those up now for October 27th. That's when the event's taking place. And they've got a lot of fights. I believe there's 12 or 13 already announced for that event. So I'm really looking forward to covering that one and should be there in person. So it's a great one coming up. Now today, what we're going to do, it's the second episode of the day. If you missed it, I had four great interviews earlier on. But this is going to be a Bellator 205 preview show. So starting off the show, I'm going to be joined by AJ McKee. And he's taking on John Teixeira, John Macapa, in the main event. So look forward to that interview. Also joined by Rafael Lovato Jr., 8-0 middleweight. He's taking on John Salter. And I believe this fight is going to be a number one contender matchup for that middleweight title. So one of those two guys most likely going to get a shot against Rory McDonald or Gegard Mousasi. And they have a fight coming up September 29th. At Bellator 206 from San Jose, Bellator's headquarters. And then to end the episode, we're actually joined by one of the bigger names in Bellator, Patricky Pitbull. So we're going to ask Patricky some questions. He's taken on kind of a late notice replacement for Goti Yamauchi. So he's fighting Roger Huerta right now, who's a very well-known MMA fighter. So we're going to ask Patricky some, you know, kind of tough questions. What's a game plan like going up against a guy like Huerta, who's got such notoriety as well? What we can expect from the Pitbull brothers later on this year, coming into next year? And at the very end of the episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a bit of a preview of the card, kind of go over some of the fights that are on there. Of course, you have those big fights, like I already mentioned, but you also have Vitor Ortega taking on Denise Kiholtz. That's a pretty big name fight as well. Undefeated Hungarian prospect Adam Borks is also on that fight card, taking on Jose Naldo Silva. So lots of great things coming up at Bellator 205. We might as well just get right into the very first interview with 11-0 prospect AJ McKee. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We'll get right into it. So, I mean, second time headlining a Bellator event. Originally supposed to be taking on Pat Curran. I mean, he dropped out about a month ago due to injury. And, I mean, now you're set to take on John Teixeira. So, basically, first question, I mean, what's the game plan going up against a vet like Teixeira?
Go in there and do what I do best, and that's put on a show, keep the pressure, and just do what I do best. You know, I don't really focus on what he's going to do, but I try to focus on what I need to do, because I feel if you're focusing on what they are doing, you're already two steps behind.
Yeah, for sure, and I mean, it makes a lot of sense, so... Like, sticking with the theme, as far as training's concerned, and I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this question already, and you're probably going to be asked this question again later on today. What's it like having your dad, you know, in your corner, and how's training camp been at the body shop?
It's different. It's definitely different, because he's not, it's weird. He's not just my dad, you know, he's not just my friend. Once we walk in that gym, he's nothing but a coach. And it kind of sucks for me, just because he knows when I'm slacking. He knows when I'm acting like I'm tired versus if I'm actually tired.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it would certainly be difficult. As far as training partners, you know, you've been working with to get ready for this fight. Who are some of the guys that you bring in or that you train with at the gym to get ready for a guy like Teixeira?
We don't bring anyone in. We got everything we need in our gym from four-time national champion, 133-0 Joey Davis, to Aaron Pico, Golden Gloves boxing champion, to Olympic team wrestler, to Wyatt Watson, to heavy hitting Baby Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, I mean that's
we got a gym just full of different styles and looks. So, man, our gym's stacked, you know, and it all shows in our performances. Joey's 4-0, Pico's 3-1, Slice is 4-1, I believe, 3-1. So. The proof is in the pudding, man. We're doing something right. And we all got each other's back, and we all push each other to new limits on a daily.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome to hear. I mean, you had 4 fights in 2017. This fight next week is going to be your second fight of the year. Are we going to see you back in the cage before the end of 2018?
I hope so. I know they got the show in Israel. They're putting my belt up for the grab against someone who pulled out against me. So I'm kind of disappointed in that. But it is what it is. I feel like the guys know in the division, once that belt touches my waist, it's not going anywhere. So all these guys can do all the talking they want. They can do all the running they want. But, hey, it's going to catch up to them sooner or later. You know, you got to turn and fight.
If you're able to get the win, I mean, you'd be moving to 12-0 next week. I mean, what's next? Do you plan on sticking around, you know, going for the title at featherweight? Do you plan on maybe making a move to the lightweight division anytime soon?
Yeah, that's definitely in the plans, you know. But I got unfinished business at 145 first. I need to get that title. Once I get the title, we can see where things go from there and how things play out. I'm definitely looking forward to being a two-division champion and staying undefeated and just doing things that are unheard of, you know, breaking records and setting trends and showing things that people haven't seen and just opening up kids' eyes and telling them that they can do whatever they want. They just really have to put their mind to it and stick to it and stay motivated, because the sky is the limit, man. With the man upstairs, anything is capable.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great plan. Thanks so much for the call, AJ, and good luck with the last week before the fight.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Great having AJ on the show, and it's definitely a difficult test coming up against John Teixeira later on next week on Friday. I mean, Teixeira's a proven tested vet sitting at 21-3 with 2 draws. And I mean, his last 2 fights, things haven't really gone his way. Losses to Pat Curran via decision and Daniel Vykel, who recently challenged Patricio for the title here at Bellator in Rome. I believe that was Bellator 203. But I mean, he still has wins over Justin Lawrence, among others. And, you know, he's been a competitor for a very long time. I mean, a professional since 2007. So a difficult test for AJ McKee for sure. So now at this time, let's get into the interview with Rafael Lovato Jr. You know, he's been a very accomplished Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt for a long time as well. And he's looking to take on another tough test in John Salter. So we're going to talk to Rafael about how he's been working on his striking and what a win next week could mean for him. You know, in your last fight at Bellator 198, you were scheduled to take on John Salter. I mean, he pulled out due to injury. He ended up getting a very short notice fight against a fellow Oklahoma native in Gerald Harris. So the fight worked out for you, first round submission finish, but was it difficult for you to go into that fight and have to change your game plan?
No, not really. Fortunately, everything worked out to be, you know, pretty perfect in the sense that Gerald was also coming from a wrestling background and fights in a southpaw stance. You know, it would have been one thing if I ended up going against like a, you know, a crazy knockout artist, like stand-up specialist guy that fought in a traditional stance, then maybe, you know, there would have been some more like, oh, what if type factors that I didn't prepare for. But being that Gerald did fall into those, you know, similar characteristics, I felt pretty comfortable. And, you know, I'd obviously seen Gerald fight many times, and I was very aware of who he was and what his strengths were. So, you know, no, I felt good going into it, and I was just happy to still have the opportunity to fight. I was, you know, so prepared and was really scared there for a minute when I didn't have an opponent. And, you know, basically, even if it would have been a dangerous striker, you know, with a completely different game, I would have fought either way. I didn't want to miss that opportunity to fight. And so I was ready to go in there with anybody. But definitely, you know, huge props and respect to Gerald for coming in and saving the night for me and giving me the chance to still fight.
I mean, of course, you've got such an accomplished and well-documented Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu background. And you seem to be a fighter that's always learning and succeeding. How have you been able to, you know, work and improve on your striking lately?
Well, I mean, I've been very dedicated on my Muay Thai training ever since I decided to fight. I mean, even before, the people that I'm training with now, my teachers for Muay Thai, I've been working with them for nearly 10 years. I had students that were fighting even all the way into the UFC. They were my jiu-jitsu students, and I was connecting them to my friends who also are my Muay Thai teachers for their Muay Thai training. And all the while they were in camp and I was getting my guys ready for fights, I was also working my Muay Thai as well. And then, a few years later, I decided to start fighting myself. I always knew that there would be a time when I would be getting into the cage and I was, maybe kind of sort of preparing up for it, quietly. But these last 4 years or so, I've been all in, training Muay Thai very consistently. And I go to Curitiba, Brazil to train at the home base of the Evolução Thai team. Evolução Thai is the name of the Muay Thai system that I represent. It's founded by two brothers who are first-generation shoebox black belts under Rafael Cordeiro. So they come from a very, very, strong, legendary, Muay Thai lineage. In Brazil, and when I go down there to train in Curitiba, Brazil, basically everybody that I'm training with are, stand-up specialists. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some jiu-jitsu black belts in there and guys that are also very good on the ground, but most, 90% of all the people there are guys that are knockout artists. They're finishing all their fights on the feet. And so I've become very comfortable on the feet, in that environment, training with these guys, sparring with these guys that, are winning 80 to 90% of all their fights with knockouts. In the beginning, there was definitely some really tough moments, and there still are, but I definitely have evolved a lot. And now, Muay Thai is becoming a lot of fun, and just feeling the growth is something that I'm doing.
That's
really excited about. So I'm anxious to continue showing my progress inside the cage here next week.
It's good to hear, and it's good to hear that you have such a breadth of the ability to go down to Brazil and train Muay Thai, to continue, rounding yourself out with jiu-jitsu. As far as, finally getting this matchup against John Salter next Friday, all of his wins by finish on a 7-fight win streak. What's the key to beating an opponent like John Salter?
I don't think there's necessarily a certain thing for him or for anybody really for that matter. I mean, I think when you get into the cage, anything can happen. I mean, you're stepping into the unknown. You try to prepare for it as best as possible and have a plan, have a strategy. But really the strategy is hit and don't get hit, do damage and don't take damage. Be better everywhere, That's really it, try to win in every range, when we're striking, when we're clinched up, when we're against the cage, when we're on the ground, protect myself and at the same time, do damage and get myself, closer and closer to the finish. That's always the goal, progress efficiently, I don't have one specific vision on how I'm going to win or one special move or anything like that. I'm just going to be free and confident in my abilities in every area and just let it flow. That's it.
And so with a win next Friday, you'd be moving to 9-0. I mean, we've got McDonald Musasi set for the end of this month for the middleweight championship. Would a win next week put you in line for a title shot?
I think so. 100%, and I think the world out there agrees. Salter has been deserving of a title shot, you know, for quite some time, actually, in my opinion. You know, he's been right there, solidified himself as, you know, a top contender, you know, for over a year. So, you know, he's already been there, and now I'm putting myself there, and so, you know, I think this is a natural sort of elimination process, and the winner should definitely fight for the title next. You know, Musashi and Rory is going down the week after us, and so, you know, I feel like it's all lined up the way it's supposed to be, and you know, that's my dream, man. I want to be the Bellator world champion, and, you know, after Soldier, I really don't think there's anything else that I need to do. I think I've climbed my way up, and a good victory over him completely puts me in line for the title.
Awesome, Rafael. Well, thanks so much for joining me, and good luck with the week leading up to the fight.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great having Rafael Lovato Jr. on the podcast, one of the best BJJ guys out there. And if you've never watched one of his fights, I implore you, go and watch one before his fight next week against John Salter. And I mean, John Salter, a guy, his last loss was in 2012 to Reggie Pena at XFC 18, 2012. So he's on a really big win streak, 7-fight win streak, wins over Kendall Grove and Jason Radcliffe lately. And like Rafael said, he's one of those guys that's always in the title picture, especially in Bellator's middleweight division. So it's going to be a great fight. It's currently the co-main event of Bellator 205, and I'm really looking forward to that one. Before we get going any further, I'd like to shout out my sponsors, First Row Collectibles. So head on over to the website, firstrow.ca, use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order. They're a collectibles company out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And we actually had the owner, Curtis Housen, on, oh geez, really early on in the podcast series. And he's a really big wrestling guy, brings in a lot of different wrestling events to the city of Winnipeg. But at the same time, he's a big MMA guy, and he actually got me in contact with one of his friends, Stefan Richard, who I also had on the podcast, who actually wrestled professionally over in Japan and around North America, and he got to know a lot of MMA guys as well. So two great guys. Make sure you follow the two on Twitter, at First Row on Twitter, or First Row Collectibles, and at Eversick Stefan. So if you head on over to First Row, there's baseball cards, hockey cards, I mean, wrestling memorabilia, the list goes on, old episodes of Sports Illustrated from the 60s, lots of neat stuff. So make sure you head on over there, use the promo code FNP for free shipping. And to our listeners in the States, a reminder, all the prices are in Canadian dollars, so you're going to be saving roughly 24-25% when you make an order with First Row. The show is also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, and if you head on over to their website, sisuguard.com, use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. If you're in MMA, if you play hockey, they're really, really thin. You can keep them in if you're doing an interview, if you're trying to have a drink of water, if you're trying to talk to your corner. I'm no joke, it's razor thin, definitely one of the best mouthguards I've ever had, and they also include a $35,000 one-year full coverage dental warranty. So if you're wearing the mouthguard and you have any issues, you have that to fall back on. So head on over to the website, SISU Guard. If you buy a yellow mouthguard in the Arrow or Junior styles, they're going to make a 10% donation to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a childhood cancer research foundation. So make sure you go to the website, SISU Guard, promo code FNP10, get a yellow mouthguard in the Junior or Arrow styles, and you're going to be helping out childhood cancer research. Again, SISUGuard.com, promo code FNP10 at checkout. All right, and that gets us into our very last interview of the episode. We're joined by the one and only Patricky Pitbull. So we're going to talk to Patricky about his upcoming fight. He was supposed to be taking on Goti Yamauchi. Now he's been replaced with Roger Huerta, who I'm sure many MMA fans know of from his time in the UFC, among other different leagues that he's fought in. So we're going to talk to Patricky about the fight coming up and what we can expect from the Pitbull brothers in 2019. Thanks for joining me, guys. So I won't take too much of your time. Patricky, originally you were paired up with Goti Yamauchi, but now you're taking on a guy you've looked forward to fighting for for a long time, in Roger Huerta. What's the game plan for a veteran like Huerta?
É, porque primeiro você luta com o Yamauchi, né? E depois de um jogo, você luta com um cara que já luta há um bom tempo, que é o Roger Huerta. Qual o plano de luta para lutar com ele?
O plano de luta é ir lá, se divertir e bater nele. Não existe muito a rodeio, não existe muito o que falar. Eu estou pronto para lutar Eu treinei como se eu fosse lutar pelo cinturão. Então, o Sanpei é noção de como eu tô pronto para copiar qualquer um. The plan to go in there, have fun, and let my skills flow and nothing else. I trained for this fight like I was training to fight the champion. I didn't overlook where the single bit and know what kind of fighter he is. I just have to go in there and have fun, do my best, and get the thing I'm looking for to knocking him out in the first round.
Where do you think a win over Roger Huerta puts you in the lightweight title picture?
Obviously, I should have been better to react and co-work and ask this one to get on. It puts me right there fighting for the title.
Would you sooner fight Primus for the belt or have a third fight with Michael Chandler?
I prefer to be able to talk with Primus for the title, or to have a third fight with
Michael Chandler. I want to fight for the title, of course. I want my opportunity to fight for the title with a good pair of training. And in the next round, I will knock out the Chandler.
My priority is to fight for the belt, because it's been a long time and I want to have a fair title shot this time with plenty of time to prepare, because like I might even have it, I got it on short notice. And ideally, I'd win this fight and have some time to prepare for games at the end of the year, or 2 months from now, or whatever, and then have the chance to defend my title and knock out Michael Chandler too.
Mas eu não quero só bater em Chandler, não. Eu não quero só bater em Chandler, não. Eu quero ficar batendo nele por muito rápido.
But I don't want to just knock out Michael Chandler. I would like to beat him up for several rounds before doing that.
Last question. What can fans expect in the coming year from the Pitbull brothers?
O que os fãs podem esperar nos próximos anos do nosso Pitbull?
Muito estranho. A primeira vai ser quando eu pegar meu cinturão. Aí o Bellator vai ter dois irmãos pela primeira vez sendo campeão simultaneamente. E sempre fazendo grandes lutas, grandes batalhas, que é o que nós estamos acostumados a fazer e estamos prontos para isso. Grandes desafios.
You can expect to see history making performances and results. I'm looking forward to get the title and me and my brother being simultaneous champions in a major organization. I don't think it has been done before. And after that, we can only go up. We're going after all the records and all the those exciting performances and finishes that the fans love about and we've become to know for. So you can be sure our history is actually only beginning. We have a lot of news still to come and some great performances to put to you guys.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for your time and good luck getting ready for your fight coming up.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Awesome having Patricky Pitbull on the podcast. Really appreciate it as well that his translator, Mateus, could join us. And man, fireworks there. I mean, Patricky definitely still has beef with Michael Chandler. Possible that we see a third fight. And if we do, man, he really wants a win there. So that wraps up the interview portion of the podcast. I'm going to get into a bit of a breakdown of the Bellator 204 card. So I've already mentioned, you know, AJ McKee taking on John McCapa. That's a tough fight with title aspirations for both fighters. You also have potential title ramifications between not only Roger Huerta and Pitbull, but as well John Salter and Rafael Lovato Jr. So the last fight rounding out the main card, you have Denise Kieholtz, who's a Bellator kickboxing champion. And she's 2-1 taking on Vida Arteaga. And Arteaga actually in her last fight got the win over Emily Ducote, who's a former title challenger. And Emily Ducote, I mentioned it on podcasts, on different shows, she's a game opponent. And Arteaga was able to get the decision win. Also on her record, a win over Brooke Mayo, third round stoppage. She's got a split decision loss to Anastasia Yankova, among others. So it's shaping up to be a really good card. One of the fights that I'm most interested in of the night, not just main card, prelims, what have you, but it is on the prelims. You got 7-0 Adam Borix, who's a Hungarian prospect, almost like a super prospect that Bellator has waiting in the wings, taking on Jose Aldo Silva. And Silva's 25-6 overall. And I mean, his last two fights have been losses, but one loss to Marlon Moraes by knee injury in the first round back in 2016 in World Series of Fighting. And then he had a loss in November of last year in PFL against Timur Valiyev. And those are pretty tough opponents. So he's going to be taking on Adam Borch, who's a guy that Bellator seems to be putting a push on. But the prelim card's great. Make sure you check that out. It's going to be on the Bellator app. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern next Friday, with the main card starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you check out Bellator 205. I'm going to have some more Bellator content coming out next week, whether it's on fightnightpicks.net. Again, you can find me, Craig Allen FNP, on Twitter and on Instagram. And I'm just going to be posting more and more Bellator content. I love it a lot. It seems like you guys out there listening to the podcast and, you know, interacting with me on social media, you guys seem to like it. So let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, what have you. And I'm really looking forward to another great event from Bellator. So we'll see you again next week with more great content.